Welcome to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the books that we are using, From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks, from our website at historybabc.com. Now, here's your host, national best-selling author and president of Gospel Light Society International, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 44 of the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. My name is Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. Since it is hard to separate Black American history and Black Church history, I am combining the two because they are so intertwined yet distinct. As many of you know, the church and faith and religion has played and continues to play a big role in the African American community, or the Black community, if you prefer. Yet many of us who grew up in the traditional Black church simply do not have an understanding of how our faith evolved under the duress of slavery, the Middle Passage and discrimination, Jim Crow, to be and to represent what it does today. The purpose of this podcast is to provide that background knowledge while also pointing out the dividing line between what is just tradition and true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our scripture verse for today is Romans 5:10, which reads, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Our History of Black Americans and the Black Church quote for today is again from Dr. Lee June, a professor at Michigan State University, and the author of the fine book, Yet With a Steady Beat, The Black Church Through a Psychological and Biblical Lens. He continues discussing statements which are frequently heard in the Black church, which he calls innocent but dangerous. The fifth such statement is, "Get your praise on. Praise is what I do." Dr. Lee June comments, "Either of these statements can be very detrimental. They are both borrowed from the secular world. Remember the statements, 'Get your groove on,' and 'Love is what I do.' While God desires praise, attempting to praise without the proper attitude is rejected. The most detrimental aspect of speaking or singing these phrases is that they often isolate praise from an overall lifestyle and can lead people to believe that they can please God simply by praising God. And that is a tragedy. Beloved, in this podcast, we are using as our texts From Slavery to Freedom by Dr. John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by Dr. E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by Dr. William A. Banks. If you enjoy this podcast, if you benefit from this podcast, please feel free to purchase any one of these books from our website. Our first topic for today is titled Colonial Enterprise in the Caribbean, Part 1, from the fine book From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin. The slave trade became a tremendously important factor in European economic life, primarily because of developments in the New World. The trade in men and women would have remained inconsequential had it been confined to the importation of a few servants into Europe. Its growth came as the colonies in the New World increased and manifested a pressing need for labor to do the job of clearing the land and tilling the fields. It is therefore no mere accident that the 17th century, which witnessed the first important advances in the slave trade, also saw the growth of European interest in colonizing and developing the economic life of the New World. The Caribbean was the scene of the first serious effort to develop a lucrative agricultural economy in the New World. It was to the islands in this area that important complements of slaves were sent. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Our second topic for today is The Negro Church, A Nation Within a Nation, Part 13, from The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier. An Arena of Political Life Continued. During the Reconstruction period, a number of outstanding leaders in the Baptist and in the other Methodist denominations became outstanding as leaders of Negroes in politics. Bishop James W. Hood of the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church was elected president of a convention of Negroes in North Carolina, which was perhaps the first political convention called by Negroes after they gained their freedom. He served as a local magistrate and later as a deputy collector of internal revenue for the United States. Hood was also appointed assistant superintendent of public instruction of the state of North Carolina. These ministers, who became the political leaders of Negroes, were all Republicans and shared on the whole the conservative political philosophy of that party. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Our third and final topic for today is from The Black Church in the U.S., Its Origin, Growth, Contributions, and Outlook by Dr. William A. Banks. Today we are looking at Part 13 of Chapter 4, Reconstruction and Retaliation, 1866 to 1914, Lack of a Proper Male Image. The high degree of mobility in the slave trade accentuated the moral vacuum. This, combined with the lack of self-respect felt by men who had little or no opportunity to constructively express their manhood, further lessened the black man's role. Being head of the home should not create pride or feelings of superiority in the male. Rather, it is a matter of function. God made Adam first, not Eve. After the fall, Eve was told, "Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Centuries later, the Apostle Paul said women were not to usurp authority over men in the church, based on the Genesis scripture, Thus, male leadership is not merely a product of Jewish thought. It is God's will for all races and peoples. He desires men to be leaders and heads of both the home and the church, women's liberation movements notwithstanding. The Negro race in America has suffered from the lack of male leadership. It suffers still, although in recent years the middle-class black man has made some progress in establishing himself as the head of the home. However, there is still no male image in many Negro homes. Getting black men to assume responsibility is a monumental task, even in the church. And getting black women to be less aggressive and more submissive is like trying to snatch a bone from the jaws of a hungry animal. Emancipation did not help here. Reconstruction became a time of moral destruction and disintegration. And over the century, the moral climate of Negro family life has improved slowly, if at all, indeed. Dear friend, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Let's have a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your mercy, your love, and grace through it all. Thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word, and for the millions and manifold blessings you've bestowed upon us. Now help us, Lord, to walk according to your Word and take advantage of the opportunities that you have placed before us in this life to glorify your name and to be a blessing and help to others, and to our own people as well. In Jesus Christ, the name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, in closing, allow me to say that, like so many of you, I grew up in a very religious and church-going family. And during that time, I often heard the phrase, being saved. Now, much of what the church people whom I grew up around said being saved was, I now know, is wrong according to the Bible. For example, joining the church, being baptized, doing good things, good works, or being a good person or trying to be one, does not mean you are saved and will not get you saved. I wrote an article about this matter titled On Being Saved in Black America some years ago, which is available for you to read free of charge on our website, GospelLightSociety.com. Right now, I want to share with you very briefly what the Bible says being saved really is.
Thank you for listening to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the books that we are using, From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks, from our website at historybabc.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcasts, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless.